like to read from Luke 15. I just wondered if we could start at verse 12. Luke 15, verse 12. Oh, tail end of 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give to me the share of the property that falls to me." Verse 19. This is the younger son speaking to the father again. "I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." I'd like to go back to verse 15, or verse 14 perhaps. "But when he had spent all, there arose a violent famine throughout that country, and he began to be in want." I'd like then to jump to verse 24, finally. "For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found, and they began to make merry." Just one further reference in Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, verse 17. "Behold, instead of peace I had bitterness upon bitterness, but thou hast in love delivered my soul from the pit of destruction, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." I'm sure we all know what a contrast is. The simple for the children is the nights are drawing in, as we say, and it's dark in a room. You walk into your bedroom and it's dark, and you simply in this country press a switch and the light comes on. That's a contrast. You've got darkness, you've got light. And the gospel is full of contrasts. And this chapter, Luke 15, is the crown, I think it's been said, of the parables. There's a lot of contrasts in it. There's happiness, there's sorrow, there's somebody going away, there's somebody coming back. And we've read, excuse these sort of scattered verses, but we read, "Give to me," and then we read, "Make me." We read, "Began to be in want," and "Began to make merry." They're contrasts. I've read Luke 15, and it is my favourite verse. Verses of the Bible, my favourite chapter. And I'll tell you why. Many, many years ago, a man came, it was David Bond, came to Sheerness where I lived. And unbeknownst to me, he opened his Bible and read Luke 15. And during the Gospel, Jesus spoke to me, and I knew what it was to be lifted up on the shoulders of the Saviour and to know what salvation was. I was lost. I didn't actually realise it, didn't appreciate it, but I was lost. But I knew at the end of that gospel preaching that I was saved. And that's what I would love for every one of us to know, that we're not lost, but that we're saved. Was lost and has been found, as the Father puts it. In fact, he goes further, was dead, but has come to life. Is that your privilege, your portion? Do you know it in your heart, that you were once dead to God? Oh, I've been a bit worried about the kingdom gospel. I suppose The younger son relied on the father for everything, didn't he? Absolutely everything. His clothes, his money, his food. And we're like that. We rely on God for absolutely everything. And there comes to a point where you acknowledge that, where the goodness of God shines into your heart. It's as if when this young man was a long way off, it's as if, and excuse me, maybe I'm too using it as a story, but it's as if the curtains were closed and there was one that was just slightly open and there was a shaft of light from the Father's house. The goodness of God shone out to that young man in that far country. Suddenly he realized the heart of a loving God. and he started to come to himself. It's been said sin is like, or the power of sin is like a kind of madness. It says that he came to himself. You see, one sorrow of mine is that this is a parable. It's not an actual story, but it's just a parable. It didn't actually happen, but... And then I thought of that night when Mr. Bond came to Sheerness. Do you know, it is a true story. Because I've been there. I'm not wanting to talk about myself this whole hour. Well, not even an hour, sorry. I don't want to speak about myself. But I was the youngest. My sister was very good, well-behaved, intelligent. As was my brother, who went to grammar school. And then there was me, the black sheep. And, do you know, I was going to go away from Mum and Dad. That was my plan, just to get out of it all, just to go, find my own life. And this younger man, after not many days, the younger son, gathering all together, I suppose he'd packed his bag, put it under his bed. Maybe he kept thinking, what's the plan, where shall I go? And eventually, after not many days, he got his bag from under his bed, slung it on his back, and off he went to the far country. Not initially. He maybe just went a little way away. But that's what sin does, isn't it? It takes you further and further and further away until what happens? He's living in debauchery. And there's longing, there's a need, there's a want, there's something that just cannot fill his heart and soul as away from God. And that's you and me, is it not? And yet, he comes to himself and he sets out to his Father, to his God. And what does God do? Does he wave the finger? Does he shake his head? Does he say, right, sit there now, let's talk about this? Are there any words said? The younger son, he'd got his message, hadn't he? He knew what he was going to say to the Father. But does the Father allow that? No. And that's all it takes, friend, is one step towards God. And he will run. And you know what he'll do? I tell you what he did to me. He covered me with kisses. And that's what he wants to do to you tonight. Despite your sin, despite your history, despite your mileage, despite what corners you've been round, that all-loving, holy, righteous God is there willing and ready to put his arms around you and to cover you with kisses. I read in Isaiah because I think, in a way, that's what Hezekiah was like. He couldn't find peace like that younger man thought he could. Instead of peace, I had bitterness upon bitterness. But thou hast in love delivered my soul from the pit of destruction. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. I only read that because I'm very old and forgetful. And I just wanted to point out that this holy God hasn't changed. His righteousness is consistent. It's always been there and it's unchanged. So how can a man who's living in debauchery, stepping towards God, know the love of God and be welcomed into the Father's house? How can that be? Those sins that were cast behind God's back were put upon the Lord Jesus. And that is the beginning of Luke 15. Having lost one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Matthew's account says, and if he find it. Don't let that be you. Let it be when. And let the when be right now. If you come, come again. Come to the Saviour. Know what the strength of his shoulders are. Know what it is to be picked up by his nail-pierced hands and to be held there and to be carried back to his Father's house. That's his portion for you. This younger son, he just wanted a place, and I can fully understand it. The grace of God was so incredible, but he couldn't accept it, really. He was struggling with the contrast. He was struggling with the change, and he thought, well, just a place in the side room with the servants is fit for me because of my history. But you see, those sins were put behind God. God turned his face from his well-beloved son at Calvary because he could not look at sin. And they were put on the Saviour. And the Saviour bore them in his body, bore the penalty for them, bore the judgment, and exhausted the judgment from God for your sin and for mine. Would you not come? Would you not let the Saviour pick you up from wherever you are? He's willing, he's ready, more than able to do so. Would you not come? Come to Jesus, gently calling. There was a preaching once, and the preacher, a bit like me, starting the first hymn, I got it wrong, I'm sorry. But there was a man who read that hymn out, and he said, come, 'tis gentle Jesus calling. He muddled up his words. And somebody was saved that night because of the gentleness of Jesus. Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. All that you would hear his voice. Hearken to it. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Step out towards the goodness of God and realize it, that we're nothing but for God and for what God has given. And God has provided you and me a saviour, an answer to the need of everyone here. Well, come, friend. He rose up, went to his own father. He was covered with kisses. What does the father do? He's got everything provided. As always, God has got every provision for man. More than this younger man, this young son, could imagine. The best robe, that's Christ. A ring, sandals, and then the food. So, this young man said, give to me. And then he's saying, make me. Have you done that? Sometimes we're like that with God, aren't we? Give me, give me, give me. We live in a world like that. Give me. What a contrast to make me. And he began to be in want. I don't know whether you've felt like that. There's a need. There's a want. The world, as we know, is a circle. And you know what a heart shape is like. People draw it, don't they? There's that little dip in the middle. This whole world, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world? You know, there'll still be a little bit missing. You won't get satisfaction from this world, but you'll get it in Christ. You'll get it from Jesus, the one who God has provided. He began to be in want, but then they began to make merry. God's got the very best for you. He wants you as a son. Sonship. He wants you as a son in his house. And he wants the joy. He wants everybody to share in it. I remember that night telling my dad, Dad, I'm saved. It was one of the few times I saw him cry, because he knew I was a bad un. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ring the friends and the neighbours. I'm going to ring the locality. And I'm going to tell them. And that's what happens. It happened here with the lost sheep. That's 1 and 100. You then get the coin. That's 1 and 10. You then get the 2 sons. It's 1 and 2. But in each case, there's joy. And there's a beginning, a new beginning. They began to make merry. Oh, friend, has there been joy in heaven over you, a repenting sinner? That's what we need to do. Step out in faith towards God. And he has the answer. He's put those sins upon Jesus. And Jesus has borne them and taken them away. I remember the first time I preached was in Sevenoaks. And I came home shaking. And my dad said, I'm not going to ask anything. He said, just one thing. Did you mention the blood? Always stuck with me. Not only did Jesus bear your sins in his body on that tree, on the cross, but he also, in death, his side was pierced by someone who hated him. But blood and water flowed forth. And that blood has the power to cleanse you and me from every one of our sins. Every one. Isn't that wonderful? let us never, ever forget the blood. Amen. Jesus died. That's wonderful and precious, but he shed his precious blood for you and me. And he went into the grave. And is that it? Do we shut our Bibles and go home? No. Friend, there's more to the gospel than that. That blessed one is risen. He's ascended. He's glorified. Worthy, rightly so. You think of that resurrection morning. You think of the Father there coming to that grave. Raised by the glory of the Father. Think of persons coming, the Son had already risen. Sorrow, grief, think of Luke 24, there they are on that journey. 7 English miles, I think it is, J&D says in the footnote. It's a long old way, isn't it? I don't know what Irish miles are like. But 7 English miles. You think of all the sorrow. Think of how this stranger just matched his step with theirs. And they pour, and he says, "What things? What's got you down? Why are you sad?" Well, they say, "We had hoped." Mm. There's so many out there like that, aren't there? Put their faith and trust in luxuries, in money, in work, employment, in health. So many things. And sometimes, like this young man, there's a violent famine. God works in lives, doesn't he? He causes earthquakes, he causes the odd shake. Maybe somebody's taken. Maybe somebody's taken in your life and then mine, and it shakes you. But you know there's one nail fastened in a sure place, and it's Jesus. You can hang on him. Oh friend, I would urge you, I would appeal to you to cling to that blessed one who's gone out into the darkness. It was a lovely old poem, and I admire these people that can just recite poetry. And this is very sketchy. But there was a lovely poem. So the shepherd went out in the darkness, where the night was cold and bleak. And that little black sheep, he found it and he laid it against his cheek. But the hireling, that's the devil, but the hireling frowned, "O shepherd, don't bring that sheep to me." But the shepherd smiled as he held it close. And that little black sheep was me. And that night in Sheerness, that little black sheep was me. And I was picked up by a loving Saviour and carried into the Father's house. I've failed him many times, friends. I have. We have in this verse 8. Does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek carefully. I suppose that's the Spirit's work. And there's many times I've been like a coin and the dust's got on top. And I've needed the Spirit's help and power to get rid of the dust, to light a lamp again. But salvation is once and for all. That night Jesus picked me up. He's never let me go. I can tell you that, friend. And if there's anybody struggling with that, I can tell you, once you're his forever. And he cares about you too. There's that story, and it quite made me think about our localities and our gatherings. A pastor went to a church, and it was very dull and not very welcoming. And he went a couple of years later to the same church, and it was vibrant. And there was life and joy in the congregation. And the pastor said, "What happened? What was the change?" And the man there, the pastor of that church, said, "Well, a young lady came into the church and she was pregnant. She was a single mother and people moved away from her when she came in. And they didn't talk to her. And they actually moved seats so that she was on her own. And not many days after that incident, that same woman was found at the bottom of a cliff with a crumpled piece of paper in her hand. And that bit of paper read, 'Nobody cared.'" Makes you think, doesn't it, of our own localities and meeting rooms. Do we care about those that have gone? That's not the spirit of the shepherd, is it? He went out in the darkness after them to appeal to them to come back in. Let us provide an environment in our localities where anyone's welcome. We've got to do that, friend. And it's brought me up that you just can't judge someone from the outside, because God loves everyone. And God loves you. And that appeal is towards you. I hope there's been an appeal. And I hope you'll come. The Lord Jesus loves you and died for you, went into the grave for you, but lives for you. He's risen, he's ascended, he's glorified, and he's coming again. He's coming for those who have put their faith and trust in him. He's coming for those who have been put upon his shoulders and carried to the Father's house. Are you amongst that number? I just leave the message with you. Why don't you come? And come now for the glory of God, for his name's sake. Amen.